950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here today for Local Minnesota Radio Hour.
Hey, hey.
And we will be here all month as Doug is on tour for his Vote Common Good tour. He will be here in Minnesota October 10th, so it'll be exciting to see Doug and this huge event he's got going on. Eric, have you seen any of the pictures of this event?
No, I can only imagine.
He has this incredible stage set up. It looks like a big music festival. But yeah, he's taking that across the country, and he'll be here October 10th.
I don't know how he does it.
I know, that guy's crazy. The energy he has.
So many things.
Yeah, Doug is a superman. But we are here with you all October long, 4 to 5 p.m. And October is a special month for me. It's my birthday month. I'm a Libra, so I always have a good time
in
October.
Oh, it's my birthday month.
It's my birthday month. Yeah, I got a lot of birthday parties planned. And October 18th, Chapo Trap House will be here in Minneapolis. So we'll be going to that show. I'm excited to see those boys. But tune in all October. Thursdays, Hunter and Eric, get your fix of the fellas, 4 to 5 on AM 950. Well, the first thing I want to talk about is YouTube. Eric, you're a fan of YouTube, aren't you?
Yeah, as much as I think anyone is nowadays.
I use YouTube about every single day. I fall asleep to YouTube videos. I use it for entertainment, news, sports. YouTube is big in young people's lives, but
it's kind of ubiquitous now, right? It's like you probably don't go a day without using YouTube and don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, everything's there. I mean, there used to be like copyright problems for music, but now even the record labels have accepted that this is the future and you can find pretty much every song on YouTube nowadays. But before I get into the topic, there is a interesting little tidbit about YouTube is for the longest time, the past 4 or 5 years, the most subscribed channel was PewDiePie. And PewDiePie is a Swedish millennial kid who does video game Let's Plays as well as commentary on memes and that. And he's
silly voices.
Yeah, he's dominated YouTube for years with like 65 million subscribers. But he is about to be dethroned, something people thought was impossible for a long time. But there's a new channel called T-Series, which is Bollywood music and movie clips.
So, I was going to say, I've never even heard of it.
I know. So what's unique about this and has implications for the future of the internet is India is quickly getting online. They, for the longest time, they didn't have as great of internet access, but now with mobile phones and a push from Facebook, Google, and these big internet companies, India is quickly becoming online and going to be the biggest market in the world. So our online experience is going to be shaped by India in the near future.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you think about big countries, okay, India, but then there's also China.
And
China's been on the internet for a while, but they just have their own kind of walled garden, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the free internet that we have here. It's very limited, and none of those companies exist. They're all proprietary China internet companies. So it'll be interesting to see how India shapes the internet in the near future. But what I wanted to talk about was a new study that was just released this week. It's called Alternate Influence, Broadcasting the Reactionary Right on YouTube. It's by Rebecca Lewis. She's from Data and Society. And this report identifies and names the Alternative Influence Network, which is an assortment of scholars, media pundits, and internet celebrities who use YouTube to promote a range of political positions, anything from mainstream versions of libertarianism and conservatism, all the way to overt white nationalism. But content creators in this Alternative Influence Network claim to provide an alternative media source for news and political commentary. So the network works as a system of guest appearances and mixing content from a variety of ideologies to promote a broader reactionary position and general opposition to feminism, social justice, or left-wing politics or progressivism. And the term reactionary stems, it's a person who holds political views that favor a return to the status quo. So it has far-right characteristics of respecting authority, basically being a bootlicker. And current culture needs to return to this past time. They have a strong opposition to egalitarianism and wish for traditional gender roles and a vision of a monarch utopia. So reactionaries stem from when liberal democracies were popping up, people who wanted to return to monarchs. So a very right-wing,
have you ever talked to any
network.
Like monarchists?
I haven't.
Nowadays? Oh, there. I've met a few, and they're strange.
You've met them in person?
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
It is.
Yeah, the internet's a crazy place. It fuels a lot of strange ideas in people's head that they get way into. But so the report starts out with a story back in January of this year where the most popular live stream video on YouTube at the time was a debate between a libertarian and a white nationalist. They were Sargon of Akkad and Richard Spencer. And if you are not familiar with Richard Spencer, he is a open white nationalist, neo-Nazi. He coined the term alt-right, and his big push is for a white ethno-state. So topics in this debate included scientific racism and other popular positions within white supremacist communities. The debate was over 4 hours long, and it was viewed almost 500,000 times. Now, the problem...
How many of those 500,000 watched the whole 4 hours?
Yeah.
I'd rather get a root canal.
I actually did tune into this, too. And this is what the problem is, that YouTube platforms this debate. And due to the exposure and the debate focusing around Richard Spencer's area of expertise compared to Sargon of Akkad, who was pushing how, like, obviously those are bad ideas, Richard Spencer came out to a lot of people. They responded very positively to never being exposed to him. There was one comment on the video that said, "I never heard Spencer speak before, but it's apparent he is on a whole different level." So a lot of just young, susceptible people hearing white nationalists have a platform and be able to present his ideas and not be challenged like to the same degree as a legitimate debate would have. The story, though, is one example of the snowballing that occurs with figureheads of different ideologies and giving issues a platform for these more extreme right-wing ideas like white nationalism, homophobia, anti-Islam, and a hatred of women. All these are common YouTube themes. And a primary tactic used by the reactionary YouTubers is creating content centered around the social justice warrior. Now, this is something that kind of ties all these figureheads and content creators together, is this opposition to the SJW. It's a flexible strategy. It initially targeted feminism, but now is often applied to any movement of social justice, including Black Lives Matter, LGBT, Muslims, or immigrants. And many of these YouTubers rose to prominence back in 2014 during the Gamergate controversy, which was what it ended up being was a movement of coordinated harassment against women game designers and critics. The movement was effective because it pushed many non-political gamers towards a common enemy, claiming that feminist SJWs are trying to ruin video games by taking away violence or sexist tropes in video games.
It's all about gaming and journalism. I think that's their line, right?
Yeah.
Because they thought, oh, who was the woman? Anita Sarkeesian?
Yes, yeah.
And she was accused of somehow doctoring her reviews on a video game?
Yeah, that it turned into a whole convoluted
obviously
mess.
Obviously, it steamrolled into something else completely.
Mm-hmm. But this is where a lot of these people rose to prominence. The content was created aimed at single young white men claiming that they were being oppressed by political correctness, and they were giving reactionary anecdotes that steered them towards sexist and racist ideas in other videos of these channels and content creators. The idea was that because of SJWs, they are now the oppressed ones, the straight white males, and that their reactionary political ideas would return them back to their rightful place of entitled privilege within society. And this phenomenon, I understand, because a lot of young men face difficulties today. Like, there's the landscape that young people and my generation face is different than our parents. In America, which is the wealthiest nation in the history of human civilization, we have a generation of young people who are the most educated and least compensated generation in modern American history. So the reactionaries, they diagnose the problem, which resonates with these susceptible feelings and struggling adults, and it shifts the blame from where it should be, which is a system that creates enormous inequality and a small ruling class and hoards tremendous amounts of wealth, to feminism and minorities, and puts these groups against each other. And they claim that the minority groups are, in fact, the privileged class. And
do you think that maybe, like you were saying, there's a certain amount of, there's a lack of compensation for these young people who are the most educated ever? You mm-hmm. think that they may be using video games as some sort of oasis to get away from that? They feel like that's their one last moment, place of solace, and then they're being told that that place of solace is under attack.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great take on it. And it's, it's just, there's a lot of problems within this generation of, because of how we were brought up and the internet prominence, some of these people lack social skills, or some just lack the finances to get their lives going, like with dating and having their own apartments. More people in my generation live at home than any generation previous, and I know anecdotally that's the case. Most of my friends live in a multi-generational home with their families. And there's just, like you're saying, that there is a comfort in the nostalgia of video games, and it gives you a way to direct your energy. But then these reactionaries give you a place to also direct your energy in a more vengeful way.
Yeah, find an identity out of that.
Exactly.
When you're feeling so alienated from the rest of society, this is the one last thing you have. And then you're being told that that is under attack, and you'll latch on to any voice giving you, you know, some sort of importance.
Yeah, and then with that reactionary take of, if we could just return to that time where things were different and men had the right, correct roles in society, things would be better. But this is why I continue to push that it's so important for progressives to stay on messaging, because conservative policies are the reason that we are in this situation to begin with, and the left has answers to solve these problems and improve the lives of working Americans and young Americans, and we're all in this fight together, regardless of race, religion, gender, orientation, any of that. The more we can frame the actual struggle and the reality of the situation, the better that these young white men will be able to discern and understand the difference and the unique struggles that minorities face on top of our shared struggles. But a common theme that these videos have is a hatred of identity politics, but in fact, the reactionaries actually use this as one of their primary tactics themselves. Within the network, they have many minority figureheads that they use to rally against their own social justice cause. Like, they're employed to come on as the token minority and deflect any accusations of discrimination while being the figureheads of a background, and to just basically hate on their own background. There's Candace Owens, who is a young black female who often talks about the myth of white privilege and that affirmative action is racist. There's both Dave Rubin and Milo Yiannopoulos, who are gay men. Dave Rubin claims to be a classical liberal, so he claims to be on the left, but that the left left him because it got just carried away with social justice warriors.
Classical liberal is one of those funny terms that can kind of seem to mean whatever the speaker wants it to mean.
Yeah, it is very unclear what it means. It's,
it basically means that you're in favor of free speech, and it doesn't seem to go much further than that as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's entitled to free speech, and whatever it means past that is up to the interpreter.
It's kind of the Ayn Rand individualist.
Objectivist?
Yeah. But there's Blair White. She's a trans woman who's against pronouns and makes a lot of videos claiming there's only two genders. And all these people, they appear on the other figureheads in the movement's videos. And these members that I'm speaking of are always used to attack their own group and their own social justice struggles. But yeah, a lot of them claim to be on the left, but all their content is right-wing agendas, like the classical liberal label.
I know Sargon of Akkad has claimed that he's left-wing.
Yeah, he claims to be a liberalist, is his new term.
Sam Harris, Jordan Peterson both claim that they are.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, but what policies do you favor that are left-wing? Because they're all on the...
Sam Harris has a couple, but he's still... I wouldn't consider him left-wing with how hawkish he is.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, there's this big network, and they all use each other to promote these shared reactionary views. And they are doing a really good job on YouTube. If you look at these videos, they have tons of views. You can get sucked into a wormhole. If you click on one of these videos, your whole feed of recommended videos will become reactionary right-wing YouTube. And you can't shake it. Like,
oh, I know.
Even ours here at the station.
You know, I'll watch like a Bill Burr stand-up clip. And for some reason that cues up, 20 more videos called like Milo Yiannopoulos eviscerates SJW with logic.
Yeah, that is how they always title them too. Destroys with facts and logic.
Ben Shapiro owns Soy Boy Beta.
But it's... To me, it's kind of like the rise of right-wing radio in the 90s is the format of YouTube kind of lends itself to have just a camera and a person speaking. And it conveys anger well, which draws people's attention and gives a visceral feeling to the words that they're speaking. So it is unique how there are so many of these right-wing figureheads on YouTube, and there's very few on the left. I mean, we have the Young Turks, which is a media network and more of a news station that is the biggest news station on YouTube. The Young Turks used to be a radio show here on AM 950 back when it was Air America, and they've continued to make content and are one of the prominent voices of the left on YouTube. But you don't see the same amount of figureheads or as large of a movement on the left. And I think it has to do with just kind of the authoritative style of yelling into a camera by yourself. There is a large opportunity, though, for content creators on the left to make more documentary-style videos or humor, because the right wing really lacks in humor. They can't make things funny. They just get angry, and They start with a premise for a joke and just get riled up, and they're just yelling by the end of it is the common theme. I mean, Steven Crowder is the biggest right-wing comic on the site, and he's not funny. And I'm taking politics out of it.
I had no idea that he was supposed to be a comedian until very recently when someone told me.
Yeah, and he's like who they hire for all the correspondence dinners now, because Trump would never allow the Stephen Colbert or any of the usual comics that they have for White House galas and stuff. But like I said, what's important here is to stay focused on our messaging. This is why I think it's important to not get so caught up in Trump's drama, where that's all you're speaking of in like your daily interactions with people, or if you are a content creator, to solely focus on that. It's important to present a vision. And that's what Bernie Sanders did really well in his campaign, is he got on TV or any media source and he just stayed on message. Like, they'd ask different questions to try and get him off track, and he'd always just come back to the wealth inequality and his talking points. And that, as progressives, we need to do in our daily lives when we're talking with just our social circle, when we're having political discussions with foes or just undecided people. Stay on our progressive agenda and our vision for the world. Well, when we get back from the break, we will talk about Amazon raising the minimum wage to their employees to $15 an hour in all locations. That's a win for Bernie Sanders' push to raise the minimum wage of $15, who he had targeted Amazon for the past several months.
But it's a win for the workers, too.
It's an absolute win for the workers, and we'll get into that here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Margaret Wheatley said, "There is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres-Ray and Nikema Levy-Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center, Using Our Voice and Vote. Register at womenspress.com. Press.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They've built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind-body-spirit-emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. If you have a desire to live a life that is more than what you are currently experiencing, if you feel stuck or experiencing health concerns, maybe you're curious about ways to improve your life, then Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show will give you new perspectives and ways to take steps to change your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion Radio Show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into your life. For more information, visit us at awakenedlivinginfusion.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here for today's local Minnesota Radio Hour. Our number is 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. And this week, Some big news, Amazon raises minimum wage to $15 for all United States employees. Amazon and CEO Jeff Bezos have been facing criticism for its pay disparity. The new minimum wage will benefit more than 250,000 Amazon employees, including part-time and temporary employees, and 100,000 seasonal employees. Amazon says the effect of the higher pay will be reflected in its forward-looking quarterly guidance. So they announced on Tuesday they're raising the minimum wage for all United States employees to $15, effective next month, which is great that it's happening quick. The new minimum wage, Amazon said the effect of the higher pay will reflect in its forward-looking quarterly guidance. Shares of Amazon were trading marginally lower Tuesday morning because of this. Jeff Bezos has faced criticism for the pay disparity. Like I said, Senator Bernie Sanders last month, over the past few months has been really on Bezos, and he created the Stop Bezos Act, which would tax corporations every dollar that their low-wage workers receive in government health care benefits or food stamps, which is something that united both conservatives and progressives, because conservatives are so against these government programs, and progressives want better pay for workers. They kind of united on that. I saw Tucker Carlson really getting behind Bernie on that, which is, it's cool. It's a good program because these corporations should pay their dues to their labor. The thing that I think is really interesting about this is that Amazon said it will start advocating for an increase to the federal minimum wage because of this. They are now going to be on the fight for 15 nationwide, and that could have some tremendous effects and put pressure on these large corporations and companies to increase their wages as well. The market is changing, and Amazon, I don't want to give Amazon too much credit. I want to give the workers and the collective action they've took, and progressives like Bernie Sanders and others that are elected that have been pushing for companies. But this is a win. This is what we want. We need living wages across the board. So 15 is just the start. And I hope to see that Amazon is able to have labor unions spring up in the company, because that is something that they still fight. Bezos spends a lot of energy making sure there's no collective bargaining going on with his employees. And Walmart still lacks in their pay. They are not keeping up, which is the reason why we need laws against this. And I believe that minimum wage, we should look at some creative solutions to the problem. Like, rather than just an end-all, be-all minimum wage is the only solution, have different levels where certain corporations, due to their size or profits, have to pay a higher minimum wage than smaller mom-and-pop stores. I feel like that is their dues to society for being able to have such a large company and have so much possessed wealth. Before we get into the break, I want to talk about a story in MinnPost this week, titled, "If Early Spending Is Any Indication, the Battle for the Minnesota House Will Be Fought in the Burbs." The contest for control of the Minnesota House in 2018 is looking like a battle of the burbs. 12 suburban House seats held by Republicans from Woodbury to western suburbs like Excelsior went for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, creating a map where Democrats seeking control are trying to play the offensive while Republicans play defensive. And when we get back from the break, we'll be speaking with one of these candidates, my good friend, Donzel Leggett, running in 47B. When we return on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman. You know, Continental Diamond is special for a lot of reasons. The owners are Jimmy and Helene Pessis, a husband and wife team who had a dream to open their own store more than 30 years ago. They built a business that is the gold standard. The readers of Minnesota Bride Magazine have named Continental Diamond the best jeweler for the last 7 years. Why? Amazing, friendly, no-pressure customer service, a selection of fine diamonds and design jewelry unlike anywhere else, and the fresh-baked chocolate chip cookies are pretty great, too. Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed. And buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking. Or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Welcome back to Local Minnesota Radio Hour with Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson. And our next guest is running for State House in my district, 47B. He's my good friend, Donzel Leggett. He's the vice president of General Mills and decided to run for Congress when the Democrat who ran last year decided not to and asked him personally to run in her place. Donzel, it's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, thank you so much, Hunter. It's always good to be on with you, and I feel very, very happy to be on, but mostly happy that now that you know me for more than a month, you still call me your good friend. So that must mean I proved to you I have a good character.
Oh, absolutely. I really admire and respect you, and I am very excited about your race. I mean, this couple years ago seemed like an impossible seat for the DFL to win, but driving around Chaska, all I see is blue Donzel Leggett signs everywhere. Why don't you tell us about the successes you've been having on the campaign trail so far?
Yeah, you know, Hunter, it really feels great. People ask me, hey, Donzel, you're getting tired. You're working a full-time job as a vice president, and you're out here still campaigning. Are you getting tired? And I say, no, I'm not getting tired, because every time I go door-to-door, whether it's in Chaska, whether it's in Chanhassen, Victoria, we actually have, there's a part of our district that's all the way up in Excelsior. We go door-to-door, we talk to people, and when we see the hope return back in people's eyes that there actually is a candidate who's running for the right reasons, who cares about people, who wants to bring values-based leadership to the Capitol, and is going to be willing to not only work across the aisle, but even stand up against the party if I have to get things done for Minnesotans. People are very frustrated with how things are going right now. Many people have lost hope. So when I go door to door and see the hope come back in people's eyes, see the positive spirit return, inspiration return, that makes me feel great, and that's why you're seeing so many blue Donzel signs, not only in Chaska, but in Chanhassen and Victoria and Excelsior as well.
Now, a problem our district with and our representatives have had the past several years is a lack of town halls or public appearances, and I know that you have some town halls coming up here. Why don't you give the details and explain what you're going to be talking about at those?
Absolutely. I really feel that there are certain things that, as a leader, you should bring to representation. The first thing is you should be accessible to people. You should be authentic, and you should really be willing to take action. And town halls is one of the ways to do that. Number one, make sure that you provide people with an opportunity to come and talk to you. I'm going to continue to go door to door, by the way. Even after I get elected, I'm still going to be in the community, going door to door, finding out what people think about legislation, what they think about what's going on, and what I can do to make a difference. But I think it's also important to have gatherings where people know they can plan for it. And so we're having one October 9th, 7 p.m. At the Chanhassen Rec Center. We're having another one October 23rd at 7 p.m. at our campaign headquarters just under the Granary in downtown Chaska, 500 North Pine Street, number 104. And by being accessible, it gives you an opportunity as a candidate or a representative, because I'll continue to have these when I'm elected, to show that you're an authentic person. People want to know, are you real or are you some kind of fake act? This isn't an act. I'm bringing my authentic self. This is the real Donzel. You talk to anyone I work with, talk to anyone who knows me in the community, I'm the same person. And I think that being authentic lets people know that you're someone that they can trust to take action. And that's the key thing. If you take action at the Capitol, great. But if for some reason you can't get things done, you have to have the accountability to come back and explain to your constituents why you did not get those things done. You have to give people the opportunity to confront and ask you, hey, why do you feel this way about this thing when I don't feel that way? That's what a representative is accountable to do. That's why town halls are important. That's why going door to door is important. That's why being accessible is important. So if you're looking for a representative who's truly willing to stand up and lead, please come in and talk to me October 9th or October 23rd at our town hall.
And why don't you tell a bit about your background, since you're talking about getting across your authentic self? Why don't you share with the listeners just a brief little tidbit on your background?
Sure. Thanks, Hunter. Again, most people know that I'm from Key West, Florida originally, but I am an adopted Minnesotan. We lived here for 15 years now. Me and my wife live out in Chaska. We've been in the same house for 15 years. We've raised four kids here. They went to Chaska or District 112 public schools. You know, I played in the Big Ten. Although I'm from Key West, I played football in the Big Ten. I was academic all Big Ten at Purdue. And my whole career at General Mills has always been not only about finding ways to make things more efficient. I've managed up to $4 billion of the company's budgets and saved hundreds of millions with very, very targeted activities to drive waste out of the system, but always working with people. How do I make people's lives better? How do I keep people safe? How do I keep people inspired? How do we invest in people's capabilities? So I know that we can do things like, again, find ways to meet our objectives while at the same time finding ways to take care of people. So when folks say, hey, you can't find a way to get better health care and still balance the budget, yes, you can. When people say, no, you can't find a way to make college affordable and balance the budget, yes, you can. You can't find a way to work with businesses to get living wages and make that grow the economy, yes, you can. These are all things I know we can do based on my 25 years experience in corporate America and the fact that I've worked directly in communities helping people my entire career.
Now, besides you as an individual and everything you represent, I'd say the greatest thing you have going for you in this campaign is your campaign manager and wife. Why don't you talk about Tracy and the great energy she brings to this campaign?
Man, you know, Hunter, you hit the nail on the head. You told the story right at the front about how I came to run. I was not planning on doing this, and then the person that ran the last time couldn't run and asked me to run, but she actually asked me, and my wife Tracy was really the driving force behind getting me to run. It took me like 2 months to finally decide, but Tracy is the most passionate person you can imagine in terms of standing up for equal rights, for making sure that people have true representation. She is on, in this, in fact, she was door knocking right now. She just paused to listen to this interview. She is energetic. She's a great organizer. She's helped build the campaign team to over 250 volunteers, and she finds every way possible to get everyone engaged. So I am very, very fortunate. The only tough part is I never have an off hour because I'm at work. Then I go home. We campaign. Then we come back after campaigning, and Tracy's still on me. What are we going to do tomorrow? How do we make sure we win? You have to make things happen for people because people are counting on you. So just know that, you know, it's not just me. It's having a campaign manager like Tracy whose heart is 1,000% in it, and she's in it to win it.
Absolutely. You guys are a great 1-2 punch when you're outdoor knocking, meeting our neighbors. So when you're out on the campaign trail knocking on all these doors, what's an issue that you hear often, and what do you expect to hear at the town hall as a result of talking with all these constituents?
Hunter, by far, the number one issue I hear from people is they are tired of the negative tone that they feel is happening in our politics, not only at the national level, but in Minnesota. They feel like both parties, to be honest, simply are not finding ways to work together and are forgetting that government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. They feel like the tone is extremely negative. They feel like it's creating an environment where nothing gets done. So the first thing people want me to do is stay true and authentic to myself, and that is, yes, I'm running as a Democrat, but I'm looking to do whatever we can do to get things done for Minnesotans. That means working with the other party. That means working with my party. It means doing whatever has to be done to get things done. After that, the two next issues people talk about, they're very concerned, is health care and education. People want to make sure that that Minnesota continues to have a health care system that's funded. MenCare is set to be sunset in terms of part of its funding in 2020 unless we repeal that legislation next year. People want that done. They also want to make sure that we expand MenCare so more people can buy into it and have access to good quality health care. People want to make sure that if their kids go to a four-year university, they're not going to be stuck with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt for the rest of their lives. I believe there's ways to address that. People want all their kids to have access to early childhood education so that we don't have an achievement gap. We know we can close that. And we also believe that, look, we have more jobs right now that are open than we have people who are unemployed. We have a gap of skilled labor. I believe we should find ways to get trade schools either free or to bring them back into the high school so that kids who don't want to go to a four-year school or who want to work can come directly out a really good living in jobs that we need in our community and that are honest, strong, very respectable jobs. Those are the things that people are talking about.
And absolutely, that first part of your answer, I've seen you embody that energy. I remember when the incumbent to this seat decided just out of the blue on the filing deadline that he wasn't going to seek re-election, and we were all talking about the implications of that, that you said, I don't care who my opponent is. I'm focused on what I'm going to do. And I love that answer. I just see it in you that there's this authentic sincerity to what you are trying to accomplish here.
Thank you so much, Hunter. I mean, there's a lot at stake in this election. I mean, we all see it every day. The last few weeks have been just really disheartening to a lot of people. And like I said, I get my energy by proving to people there are folks who still care. And the only way we're going to turn this around is for people like me who've been on the sideline before and said, you know what, I'm willing to sacrifice, I'll run. Not everybody can run, but everybody can vote. And whether you're going to vote for me or not, that's fine. What I would say is please vote. We need everyone to get out to the polls. If you don't like what's going on now, the only way to change that is to make your voice heard. I'm providing an option of someone who not only will stand up and lead, not only has business experience globally and domestically, but also someone who has strong, positive character in the community. Like Hunter said, someone who's authentic, family man. I'm willing to step up and do whatever I can do to help Minnesotans, but everyone needs to make sure their voice is heard and hold accountable those politicians who are taking special interest money, putting their own interests first, vote them out. I'm not taking any PAC money, no lobby money, no special interest money. This is about the people of Minnesota and doing what's right for them.
I actually saw a few hours ago that the Republicans have put $28,000 in outside money into this race. So this is supposed to be a very safe seat for them, but they are on the offensive. They are definitely nervous about this, and I don't blame them. With all the parades we've been at this summer, there have been overwhelming amounts of blue Donzel shirts in them. What do you think is causing this shift in demographics and back political beliefs?
You know, Hunter, I think part of it is that, you know, certainly there's a demographic shift. You know, when you look at the growth in the metro area, Carver County has been one of the areas that has grown the most. So we've had a lot more people move in. It's a really great place to live. And so there's a demographic shift, just new people coming in, and some of them are coming from more of the eastern suburbs. You also have a more diversity in our district. But I think the biggest shift is that people see where our country is going, and they don't like it. They don't like the negative tone, and they saw that, you know what, Minnesota has always been a state that's found a way to work together, that's found a way to get things done for people. But the last several sessions, that hasn't happened. In particular, in this session, there were three things that needed to get done: a bonding bill, a supplemental budget, and a tax bill. We got 2/3 of those things did not get done. No tax bill, no supplemental budget bill, and Minnesotans are worried about this. So, you know, batting 330 or 30% is only good in baseball. It's not good anywhere else. That's failure in my book. So people are looking at that and they're saying, wow, this feels like it's starting to come into our state. We don't want to become Wisconsin. And so I think people are waking up to that. Democrats are waking up to it. Independents are waking up to it. And I can tell you Republicans are waking up to it. I go and talk to them, and people tell me, I'm a registered Republican. I'm voting for you because I don't like how this is going, and I want a leader who's going to stand up and do what's right. And I can look you in the eye, and I can tell you're going to lead. A mailer can't tell me that. The Internet can't tell me that. But you being here looking me in the eye, I can feel your energy. You're telling me you're going to stand up for me, and I believe you are. That's what I think is happening, Hunter.
So yesterday I rode the Southwest Prime, and I relied on that a lot this year because my car was in the shop for several months, so I was getting to work through the Southwest Prime, which is a door-to-door service we have in the western suburbs. But transportation is very important for older generations and people who can't drive to be able to get to employment opportunities and that. And we kind of have a unique setup with the Southwest Metro. Do you have any specific transportation plans or any focus you'd like to see for 47B in regards to public transportation?
Yeah, so first let me just answer it from an infrastructure standpoint. So we have a lot of work and spending that we need to make sure we get prioritized on our roads and our bridges here in Minnesota. We have a number, high percentage, that are reaching their useful age. There have been studies done that to forecast how much Minnesota has to invest. So because no matter how much public transit you have, if the roads that you have are not constructed in a way that makes things efficient, it's not going to be as positive as it should be. So investing in infrastructure and prioritizing that, so far we've significantly underfunded it. And you know, for every dollar you invest in infrastructure, the amount of jobs you're creating that get pulled back in the economy is magnified significantly. So I believe prioritizing investment, constructing, making sure we reconstruct our roads, make them more efficient, and reconstruct our bridges. I think prioritizing 212 is very important. If you commute every day like I do, you know that already it's starting to back up because we're a growth center. And so we've got that, and we've got sections of the road that need to be expanded and have been on the docket for that to happen for a while. There's some funding there, but not all of it. So we have to prioritize that. And then in terms of transit, Southwest Transit is one of the best bus services in the country in terms of how efficient it's run. To me, the biggest thing, and you just did it, is we've got to publicize all the advantages that Southwest Transit brings, because they brought some very unique transportation solutions to the West Metro, but people just don't know about them. We know about the bus service, which is great, but, you know, hey, Southwest Prime is outstanding. It basically operates almost exactly like Uber and Lyft do, but at a flat fee. like $4 or something like that per ride. It's incredible what they're able to do, but the utilization of Southwest Prime is extremely low. And as long as it stays low, they can't get away to get the volume up to make sure that they can make it more efficient.
So
one thing you could do, and some citizens can do it, is try to advertise and increase the awareness of this. Go ahead.
Sorry, we only got about 30 seconds left. Why don't you shout out your town halls again and where people can find more information about your campaign?
Absolutely. So go to DownsvilleForMNHouse.org. That's the website. You can find information there. Town Hall number 1, October 9th, 7 p.m., Chanhassen Rec Center. Number 2, Town Hall, October 23rd, 7 p.m., in Chaska, 500 North Pine Street, number 104. We would love to see you there. Again, DonzelForMNHouse.org.
All right, we're speaking with Donzel Leggett. Thank you for coming on, Donzel, and best of luck with everything.
I'm John Peterson from Ferndale Market, and we are celebrating 10 years of featuring local foods at our on-farm store and providing our free-range turkeys at your favorite local restaurants and retailers. We would like to thank you for your support with an anniversary party at our farm in Cannon Falls on Saturday, October 6th. Join us for complimentary turkey hot dog lunch, local food sampling, live music, and a festive day in Cannon Falls. We're grateful for your support of our independent family farm. To learn more, visit our website, ferndalemarket.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Litton's Party Value has moved 1 mile north. Get into Litton's Party Value is easy. Google 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Litton's Party Value's new location has the same great fun, party, holiday celebration supplies. Visit our Halloween section for your Halloween party and decorations and costumes too. Litton's Party Value has the selection, the quantities, and the low warehouse pricing you love. Visit our new location, 913 Plymouth Avenue North. Yes, free parking, or shop online, partyvalue.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. That was Donzel Leggett running for 47B State House. That's Chaska, Chanhassen, and a bit of Victoria. That's my district. I am good friends with Donzel and his wife, Tracy. So I encourage you all, step up. Volunteer, come out to Chaska. We have a good chance of flipping this seat, and we need your help. They're great people to meet, so come on out to Chaska.
He sounds really passionate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good time. But that's all we got for today. So thank you for joining us here on Local Minnesota Radio Hour on AM 950. I'm Hunter Haas with Eric Nelson, and I will be back Tuesday. Bye-bye.
See you then. Hour goes by so fast. So many lies.